You're listening to Audio Culture on 95BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz.
Goodness. That is fantastic. You're listening to the thunderous fingers of Paul Dine, who is our subject today for our audio culture segment. Paul Dine is one of Aotearoa's finest purveyors of the low-end frequencies via the double bass. Countless incredible sessions with local and visiting musicians in New Zealand and North America, and leading the team that developed Aotearoa's first accredited Bachelor of Jazz degree as Associate Professor of Jazz at Te Kōki New Zealand School of Music are just a couple of the achievements on Paul's extensive CV. Talking about him today is the equally bloody awesome rhythm master Julian Dine, who knows Paul better than most, affectionately as Dad. Julian, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having me. What a great intro.
Oh, thank you. As soon as I heard that, but I'm a bass player myself, obviously nowhere near as wonderful as your dad, but as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, ascension, wonderful stuff. Holy moly.
So, Julian, you're going to be telling us a bit about your dad, so Snashton, why don't you fire off that first question?
That is a great idea, Julian, just find it. Start off simple. Tell us about your dad and his career.
Well, he has had a very long and fruitful career, starting here in Aotearoa in the 50s and 60s, then living in Canada, Montreal specifically, for 10 years, where he played with lots of world-famous musicians, and returning back to Wellington in 1980, where he's been active here since. Setting up the jazz school, as was mentioned before, playing lots and lots of shows with local musicians and international touring artists, and also establishing the jazz school and teaching lots of people that are well-known practitioners in the New Zealand scene at the moment. So he's a legend in many...
Oh, fantastic. That's super, super great. Just basically responsible for all of the funky rhythms we've had here down in Aotearoa for the last ages and ages and ages. How good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
it's said in the article about him on the Audio Culture website that he tried out a few instruments while he was at school, the guitar, the piano, the clarinet. Do you know how he landed on the double bass?
That's one story he has told me, but I sort of forget that part of it, but he did. I do remember he was a clarinet player for a long time, and maybe actually transitioned to saxophone after the clarinet. I have to get back to you about that, how he ended up on the bass. But I could, yeah, I'm not sure, but he somehow fell in love with it, and he made the move away from the saxophone and clarinet to the bass, and has been there ever since. He's also pretty wicked on the piano too.
Oh, wicked. Awesome.
You have to be good on the piano to be good at jazz, right? I mean, the piano is just the backbone, I feel.
It does help, yeah. It does help, yeah.
And it's not just the piano. Your dad is also a maths and chemistry whiz as well, I believe.
Yeah, that's what he studied at university. So he's got a master's in chemistry. And in fact, he used to teach at Victoria University in Wellington in the chemistry department as a lecturer before he left to set up the jazz school or help establish the jazz school.
With music, it's often been compared to maths, and some people say that music is maths. Does your dad approach his music mathematically, or is it sort of more about the rhythm and the feel?
I'd say that, I mean, yeah, like you say, there is a mathematical component to music, which is kind of in terms of subdivisions and dividing music into portions and counting beats and remembering things. I would say it's like he has definitely an academic and an intellectual approach to the instrument, but you know, has developed a very beautiful, soulful approach to an organic way of playing the bass too. So he's not clinically, you know, he's not devoid of playing with feeling.
Yep.
Let's say, you know, and it's not all mathematical and precise at the lack of feeling and good vibes. So, yeah.
Yeah,
probably a healthy mix of the two.
Nice, yeah. That's good. That's fantastic. On the topic of sort of feelings, there's a story about how your dad attended a Miles Davis quartet show while in the States, and he said he had to leave because he was just, the feeling of the jazz just got him to his bones.
He's told me that story a few times, and he always related that his friend that he was with found it too intense.
Oh, okay, so it was his friend, not him.
I did read that in the article on the audio culture and think, I thought it was always your mate that it was too intense for, but from all accounts, it sounded like it would have been, like, pretty earth-shattering to hear that band.
Yeah.
That's one of my favourite iterations.
Oh, we've lost you there. Oh, we've got you back now. That sort of lineup is just such, it's just jazz legend after jazz legend, right?
That's the ultimate lineup as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've given us a few songs. We started with Change of Blue. Tell us a bit about why you chose that song.
I wanted to come out the gate with something where he was playing a lot of bass and, you know, showing off his abilities. Play some, and also to flex a little bit as a composer, because it's one of his tunes. But yeah, really just to highlight the double bass, you know, as a soloist instrument.
Yeah.
From the beginning. So yeah, I thought that would be a perfect entree for our conversation.
Yeah, we've got another one here now. This is In Your Own Sweet Way. This is Jonathan Crawford, Paul Dine, and Roger Sellers. Tell us a bit about this one as it plays in the background.
Well, Jonathan Crawford's a massive legend of the New Zealand music scene. He's actually currently based in Auckland. He came up as a young musician in Wellington, performing a lot with Paul Dine and Roger Sellers. Lived in New York for a long time, and then came back to New Zealand, and they recorded that album to kind of document their journey, you know, and as far as I'm concerned, you know, three of the most amazing musicians from the country, and just a beautiful document of those three together.
Yeah, yeah. We will let this play for a bit, and then we'll come back with some more questions.
Cool. Sounds good. Thank you.
95 BFM, Drive with Big J.
I could listen to this all day.
Yeah, this is smooth jazz. We're here with Julian Dine, son of the bass player on here, which is Paul Dine. And I want to ask you, Julian, having such a renowned musician for a dad, how has that impacted your very own musical journey? Because you're a musician as well.
That's right. Purely on a sort of logistical sense, there was musical instruments in the house growing up, so I got a chance to have a tinker on a bunch of different things that probably a lot of other kids didn't have in their homes. And we were lucky enough to have a drum set in the house, and that just proved to be the thing that spoke to me the most, and kind of been playing drums since. So I guess having exposure to instruments for one, and then also seeing musicians come over and perform and how they interacted and the moods that were evoked even as a young person were very strong. So yeah, I was hooked from an early age.
Do you jam much with your dad? Are you there?
Yeah. Did I cut out? Yes, you did
cut out briefly. What I asked was, do you jam much with your dad?
I do, yeah. We're actually currently working on a few records Ooh. Together. We've been recording quite a bit lately and have jammed quite a lot over the years. And also I've got him to play bass on various records of mine, and so we've been playing for a long time together, and we have a good rapport.
Does the rapport feel different when you're so close with your musical partner?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think I really make a conscious effort to lock him to what he's doing, so I try and make him enjoy himself by kind of supporting what he's doing a lot.
Yeah.
In a sort of reverence, because I like making music sound good.
Yeah.
He's so amazing to play with, like one of the best bass players of all time. So I'm really fortunate. And we have a good time.
Yeah. I guess with jazz, one thing that amazes me is how a lot of it is, there is a lot of an improvisational element. And when you watch jazz musicians play, it's sort of like, you know, they're not even thinking about the notes they're playing.
Exactly, yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like a sort of out-of-body experience when you're up there and you just hear the natural acoustics of the room and all of the instruments around. I mean, obviously, it's pretty Absolutely. Clear you've been jamming with your dad for ages, and of course growing up in the same house as him. Are there any particular memorable sessions or jams you had that come to mind? Sounds like there could be so many to talk about, but if there's any, we'd be amazing.
We've had quite a few sort of special on stage moments together, which have been great. I can't really highlight one. I would say that, like, I was quite impressed as a youngster at the magic that the musicians were weaving when all the master musicians would come over to rehearse and play at the house. That I definitely got kind of mesmerized by the spell, you know, of the magic that they were weaving in terms of how they were just kind of improvising and making it up, but making sort of very complex and beautiful music.
Mm.
So those kind of memories stick with me a lot too.
Yeah. We've got one more song here that you've given to us. This song is Morning and Evening Calm by Unwind. Do you want to tell us a bit about this one?
Yeah, this is a group called Unwind, which is led by a pianist called Norman Meehan and also saxophonist Hayden Chisholm, who lives in Europe. Chose this track kind of thinking that he really likes how the drums come in towards the end of the song. So I don't know if you've got time to play the whole song or whether you want to get you can fast forward to the end or what, however you want to do it. But that's he feels like that's the bit of magic where we kind of really get going together as he chose the song. But it's quite a beautiful group, and kind of a little bit different, but same sort of wheelhouse as the last few.
Yep. Well, I'm sure that we can actually probably play the full song because we've got time.
I'd say so.
Anything else that you want to add about your dad, Julian, before we let this song play?
Nothing. Thank you so much. Yeah. I just think he's a legend and we love him and we're so blessed to have him around and him still play music and still kicking ass. And also, you know, to all the people that he's perform with and all the people that he's met and that have a good sort of relationship with the lessons they learn from him and also the lessons they learn from him playing in the bandstand. So I think all of that is kind of imbued in his character, but it comes out in the music too, and taking the time to do this, and I know it's probably slightly different to what you normally play, so I appreciate you BFM listeners to, you know, having a bit of jazz on a Tuesday night instead of Sunday.
Yeah, I can imagine those who are stuck in traffic currently are probably at ease a little bit listening to the
Yeah, that's probably a good thing, right? Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Hopefully not too easy. I've got to focus on the road, but yeah, thank you so much for your time, Julian. We've loved hearing about you.
No worries. Thanks so much for having me.
We are going to be playing the rest of Unwind. This is Morning and Evening Calm, and it suits because it is now time for some Evening Calm.
Yes.
We will see you soon. That was Julian Dine talking about his wonderful dad, Paul.
BFM.
Thanks to Audio Culture, Iwi Waiata, the Noisy Library of New Zealand Music. Go to audioculture.co.nz. It's just-